15 of you. Well, you're looking good. I'm so excited to be back. We were able to travel back to Louisiana and see our family, and it rained the entire time, man. Like, rain, and more rain. And it was just, but we ate and ate and ate. I know I put on some pounds. I still look good, but man, we ate. Whew. And so now we're back, and so it's a good thing we're starting a fast. But I had the honor to speak at our home church last Sunday back in Louisiana, and that was such a great opportunity. But can I just let you know, there's no place like home. There's no place like Emerge Church. I preach better here, y'all. I promise you, man. Y'all are a way better crowd than they are. I'm serious, man. Y'all are so much better. Y'all look better, too. And so, anyway, I'm excited that 2019 has begun. I love New Year's. Whenever the new year begins, some people are like, oh, it's just another day on the calendar. And I don't see it that way. And maybe you might be mad at me for that, and that's okay. But I love when a new year begins. It's just a great time to hit the reset button. And the Lord has really put some things on my heart for this year. And this morning, I want to kick off our 2019 year with a series entitled Get Ready. Get ready. This is something now for the last few months. I just feel like the Lord has been speaking to me. There was a message that I'd spoken a while back, and you'll recognize the scripture verse. It's just something in there I just can't get away from it. And so as we were kicking off the new year, I knew this is what Lord was putting on our heart to kick off 2019. And so I want to go to the book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And we'll start there as we kick off this new series called Get Ready. Look at your neighbor and tell them, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Somebody heard that this morning before church. You need to get ready. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan. You got to be careful when you read that word there, am I right? You might say a little something you didn't mean to say. I heard a guy one time preaching this message, and he was trying to be so careful not to say it wrong that he did say it wrong. And it was classic, man. And so, anyway, the Israelites set out from that one city and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. And I love this verse. I mentioned it the last time I spoke. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. I'm praying that this year we get to go some directions that we've never been before. Take some new territory, amen. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, and this is the verse I really feel like is the key verse for our time of fasting over the next 21 days, and just really a kickoff verse for our year. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I cannot get away from this verse for us. Consecrate yourselves, because God is about to do something in our lives. Look at your neighbor and tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this day, this awesome time to kick off a new year, the first Sunday of the new year, Father. And God, we're believing you for bigger and greater things. But Father, not just for things, but Lord, we want to be better for you. We want to live the life that you have planned for us. And Lord, we're making this commitment to you that we will consecrate ourselves. Lord, we're going to put ourselves in the position to live the life that you have for us. And so, Lord, I just pray today that as I share this message, Father, not only will it be inspiring, but Father, I'm praying, Lord, that it's going to get to the core of our hearts, Father, and bring us to the place, Lord. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bring us to the place where we see the changes that need to be made and take the steps to make those changes. So, Lord, help me today, Lord, to communicate this message the right way with your heart and with your intent. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let me give you a little background, and this is a little recap even from a few months ago. Joshua has just taken over the leadership of the Israelites, and they're following the death of this great leader, a man named Moses. And so he's the man following the legend, and that's a tough act to follow. And they have been on this journey now for 40 years, to try to get to the promised land. Moses, this iconic leader, has been leading them, and it's been a 40-year journey. And there's a lot of people asking, are we there yet? And they're just not there yet. And along the way, there's a work that the Lord has been doing in this entire nation as they're traveling to this promised land that they're headed to. And so they've been wandering around in this wilderness, but now they have approached this boundary. And it's not easy to cross a river when you have about 1 million people traveling with you. I mean, we travel with 3 kids and it is enough, much less if you have 1 million people and you're trying to cross some serious, serious terrain. It can be a little bit challenging. Am I right? I'm sure there were a few moms that had some questions for the journey. And so they reached this Jordan River and it served as a boundary for this promised land. And so they're so close to it, but yet they're so far away. You ever felt that way before? You feel like you're so close to it, but yet it seems like 1 million miles away. Remember graduation? Like you were so close to it, but yet it's so far away. And like vacation, you're so close to it, but yet you're so far away. It's this anticipation. It's this feeling. And so it's right here. It's at this point where they need a miracle to cross this river, to get all these people across, to go into the promised land, and Moses dies. Of all times for something to go wrong, this is not the right time, amen? I mean, Joshua is a great guy. He's not the guy that's in the spotlight. Moses is the guy that holds up the rod, and the miracles begin to happen. Moses holds up the rod, and Joshua and the army's down in the valley, and they're taking care of business, defeating the other armies. But Joshua was never the upfront guy. Moses has died, and now Joshua is thrust into the scene where he has to lead these people, and his first test of leadership is, there is a huge boundary in front of them that they have to cross, and I ain't never done this before. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying. I've never done this before, but yet I'm the guy now, and I've got to figure out how to do this. And as you read the story, you see that this became his first call as a leader. The first decision that he has to make as a leader is right here, because there's a huge obstacle, but yet it's a huge opportunity. And this is what Joshua tells the people. The first thing he tells them is this. He says, consecrate yourselves. I know that's like a big word. It sounds all church official. Am I right? Consecrate yourselves. Look at your neighbor and tell him, consecrate yourself. And that just feels a little off. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does that mean? Consecrate yourselves. So this is the first call that he's making to them. And let me help you out with that. Because basically what he is saying is this. He's saying, get yourself ready, because God is about to do something great. This is really what he's telling them, that God is about to do a miracle in your life. But before the miracle comes, for you to step into this promised land that you're praying for, that now we're about to jump into a time and a season for fasting and believing that God is going to do something great, before you get to the miracle, first of all, you've got to consecrate yourself. And that word consecrate, let's use another big word, sanctify. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be sanctified. Some wife just felt good about saying that to her husband. You'd be sanctified. He didn't even know what it means, but it felt good to say it. You need to be sanctified. And that word sanctified means to be made holy. It means to be set apart. And not just set apart to be all alone, but set apart for God's purpose. If I could put it in everyday language, it's like clean up your act. Because God wants to do something in your life. This is his first call that he makes as a leader. And I'm really intrigued by it, because I think of all the preparations that need to be done and all the different things logistically that we need to figure out, because we're about to go into the promised land and we're about to rejoice because this is going to be awesome. But yet we have this huge boundary that we got to cross. And of all things, I mean, most of us are thinking, okay, how many boats do we need? Let's build a bridge, like all these different things. He stands up before the people and he says, consecrate yourselves, for the Lord wants to do some great things among you. And so this verse has just been kind of churning in my heart. And so today, as we're kicking off our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting, this is something we've been doing every year since we started our church, taking the first month of the year and spending time in prayer and fasting and just seeking God and giving the first part of our year to the Lord. This is something that we believe that we had a conviction about from day one, that we would give the first to the Lord. And I believe that if we give the first, God will bless all the rest. Amen. And so, and we'll talk a little bit here in a moment about the fasting part. But over the next 21 days, what we want to do is this. We want to consecrate ourselves. and set ourselves apart, get our heart, our soul in the right place, getting closer to God, because there's some great things God wants to do in our lives. Amen. How many of you believe it? I just have a sensation that God wants to do something awesome in our lives. God wants to do something awesome in our church. So I'm going to go to the book of Ezra real quick and drop this verse on you. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and verse 23. It says, "Then I proclaimed a fast." And I'm just going to hit the key parts of the verse. "Then I proclaimed a fast that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek him the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. So we fasted and entreated our God for this." Watch this. "And he answered our prayer." He answered our prayer. Now, I want to talk about the whole idea of fasting for a few minutes just to present this to you in a way, because I would like to see and have as many of us participate in this fast as possible. I think this will so impact your life, not just for now, but for years and years to come. I believe this is one of the most underrated spiritual practices to participate in. I think we don't understand the significance of it. So let me break it down for you a little bit. Fasting is withdrawing from something. Let's say it that way. It is withdrawing from something in order to intentionally get closer to God. In other words, I'm gonna withdraw from this thing. A lot of people are fasting from food, some people social media, different hobbies. I'm gonna withdraw from this for a period of time so that I can intentionally seek God and get closer to God, get my soul in the right place, get my heart in the right place, because I believe that there are things that God has for my life. There are things that he has for me to do. There are things that he has for me to receive. And so I'm gonna withdraw from that so that I can get closer to God. Now, there's a ton of fasting ideas, and some of you who've been with us for some time, you've already begun to think about the different things that you may be fasting from. But a lot of times, people fast from food. And when you read through the Bible, this one is the most common fast. In fact, you see people like Moses going up on the mountain and fasting for 40 days, and all he had was water. Somebody say, "Help me, Jesus." 40 days and just water. And it was probably good that he was by himself, because that man was probably hangry. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I'm serious, because I've been in these fasts before where it was just liquids. And, you know, you're trying to do life with your family, and you just get a little snappy. And it's because, and you know, I'm close to Jesus, but I'm snappy too. And why are you so snappy? Because I'm hungry. And y'all are eating in front of me. And so a lot of people fast food, and there's a lot of different ones. Some people have heard of the Daniel fast, and if you go to our website and go to our event page, there's an event on there, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. We have a link that you can click on, and there's a lot of different fasts that you can check into. We got some resources there online that you can see if you need some help with that. But the Daniel fast has become really, really popular. It's basically a vegetable fast where you're just eating something like vegetables. A lot of people like to fast from social media. In fact, I've already seen people saying peace out for the next 21 days. You know, I need to get away and get my life right with Jesus because y'all driving me crazy. And so social media has become a really popular fast. Some people fast media altogether. They turn off the television set. They quit watching those news networks. Come on, somebody. And they change the music that they're listening to, and they flip it over to the K-Love and the Way FM. And they understand that I need to have some godly things that are feeding my life. And so those are just some great ideas. And as I mentioned, you could go to our website. There's a lot of different fasting ideas that are on there. But I want to make sure we have the right perspective on fasting, because this is what fasting is not. Fasting is not punishing ourselves to get God's attention, okay? So it's not a matter of, okay, let's say you're fasting food and next Sunday you haven't eaten in 7 days and you're walking around here, you're like, "Man, I'm so hungry, but I'm fasting for the Lord." I mean, you just got your reward just there. You know, it's not a matter of showing how much you're suffering. It's a matter of showing how much you want God. It's, "God, I'm desperate for you." So let's make sure our perspective isn't, "I'm going to punish myself to get God's attention." Listen, you already have God's attention. He is chasing you a whole lot more than you're chasing him. I promise you, okay? And so it's a matter of, "God, I'm gonna turn some things off in my life so I can give some attention to you, to your purpose, rather than my pleasure." Can we say it like that? "I'm going to give more attention to your purpose rather than my pleasure." So fasting is not just stopping something for 21 days, but is asking God to start something in your life over these 21 days. Are you getting the right perspective of this? I'm not just trying to stop. I'm just going to stop. And listen, let me say this about the food fast, because I did put on a few pounds during the holidays, but I'm not just fasting for a weight plan. Okay, I'm not just fasting for a diet, and if all I get is a smaller waist size out of this, then I can go do keto and get that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to redeem my diet. And I just want to say that, because sometimes we try to mix in business and pleasure a little bit too much when it comes to the kingdom stuff. And this is where people begin to get mad at God and say, God, you didn't do nothing during my fast. And yet you're wearing three sizes smaller than when you started. God's like, well, hey, you look better than what you did before. Okay. And so, but I feel the need to say that, because there's been a trend in the church as we have fasted. There's been a trend towards just jumping on diet fads and calling it a fast, and we're no closer to God. Next thing you know, you got grown ladies in the church taking selfies, posting themselves on social media. I mean, this is the reality of what happens, and so we want to make sure our fast is righteous. Amen? And listen, let me say it like this. If it doesn't cost you something, it ain't real. If it doesn't cost you something, it's not real. And so this is why I say it's a matter of, I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm giving something up for the sake of drawing closer to God. And yes, there are benefits that come from it, because I know that there are people in here that are in need of a miracle. Yeah. Whether it's in your family or in your health, maybe with your finances and your career, a lot of different avenues where we really need God to work in our lives. And I believe that as we're fasting and praying, these are things that are on our prayer list. But our number one intent is, God, I just want to be close to you. Because when I'm close to God, guess what? Anything's possible. And there might be a river that's a boundary to your promised land. But when you read this story about Joshua, those people consecrated themselves. And the next day, the Lord did something great amongst them. And he parted those waters, and all of them crossed the Jordan, and they went into the promised land. But the intent is not just gimme, 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 God. It's, God, I'm giving you me. That's the intent of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And as Cynthia mentioned, we're going to have some prayer nights. This Wednesday night we'll start. We'll be at 6:30 at the Annex. We're going to try our best to squeeze everybody in. We're already in contact with another church trying to work out the logistics. And so we may take this show on the road in the weeks to come to make more room for more people. Last year we slammed everybody into the Annex, and it was tight. It was hot, and the kids were going crazy. And so we're going to try to make some more room. We're working it out with this other church so that we can meet there. But I think about this story with Joshua. He's so close to this promised land, but so far away. So he calls to the people and he tells them, consecrate yourselves. He's saying, get ready. And what I think he's meaning is not just get all your stuff together. I think what he's saying is, get yourself spiritually ready. Get your soul set. Get your spirit in a place of faith, because God is going to do some incredible things in our lives. And as I was really contemplating this verse, I wonder how many things that God was ready to do in my life, but I wasn't ready. I wonder how many times he was in the car, in the driveway, but I wasn't ready yet, and he was just honking the horn. You know what I'm talking about? Like, where are you at? Come on, I'm ready. And I'm just like, hold up, God, I'm not ready. And it could be our fear, it could be our busyness, it could be a number of different things. But I wonder how many times God has been in the driveway of your life honking the horn, and we just weren't ready yet. And I don't like that, because I have a fear of missing out. FOMO. I have a fear of missing out on the good things of God, because I know God's got great plans for my life, great plans for your life, and I don't want to miss out on the good stuff. But what if we're not ready? What if our attention is somewhere else? What if we're more worried and we're camping out in the dark places of our worry, and we don't even see it? I didn't know you were there, God. See, that's what it sounds like. I didn't know you were there. I didn't realize that you were coming this soon. I didn't realize that you were ready for that. I wasn't ready for that. That's why this phrase is so heavy on my heart. Get ready. Get ready. And I don't just say that as a cliche. I say that very, very seriously, get ready. I know many people who are in need for God to do something in their lives. Are you really ready for it, though? Are you really ready for it? So our fasting focus, I really felt like this year we needed to make it a lot more intentional. In the past, as people would fast, they would often stop something and begin to pray for something to happen within those 21 days and for God to say something specific to them during that time frame. And I've heard a lot of people come and say, you know, I fasted for the 21 days and nothing happened. I fasted, prayed for 21 days, and God didn't do anything in my life. I feel like I wasted my time. I went to every prayer night, was at every church service. I did the communion. I wrote the card. Like, I did all kinds of stuff, passed away, and God didn't speak to me. He didn't do anything like that. And it's almost like our mindset is set on, this really biblical experience to come and occur. It's almost like while I'm praying and fasting, the angel is going to descend into my prayer closet, shining forth with a bright light, not awakening my spouse, of course, because they're not as serious about this as I am. And that they would drop this life-changing revelation on us. And I've had times where God spoke something to me so clear, it was like, boom, yes. And I've had other times through the years of praying and fasting where it was kind of like, God, are you on vacation? Like, because I don't feel like you're responding. And I think a lot of times our senses are heightened because we feel like we're putting more effort into it. And we believe that there's going to be this response that is just magnificent. And if it doesn't occur that way, it could be very, very disappointing. And I think what happens is we lose some practicality from fasting because we're so experiential. We want the experience, but we lose the practicality of it. And so one of the things that I felt like the Lord put on my heart this year was to have some areas of focus for the fast. Because some people, they're just coming in like, God, I just need you to do all kinds of stuff in my life. And other people like, I need just this one specific thing. But I believe that God wants to get first and foremost to our hearts. And if he can get to our heart, it's going to flow and affect a lot of the other areas of our lives. And so this year, I felt like we should have three different areas of focus for our fast. And we're going to break them up into 3 weeks. Now, you fast however you want, but maybe you're new to fasting. This would be a great on-ramp for you to participate. And maybe you've been fasting for a while and you're just looking for something a little bit more practical to be a part of. And so we're going to focus on three different areas: faith, family, and finances. I believe these three areas have the biggest impact on our life: our faith, our family, and our finances. And in fact, all three of them are connected to our hearts. And so the first week, as we begin to focus on our faith, this is the most important element of your life. In fact, your salvation is dependent upon your faith. I mean, this is really the bottom line for where everything begins with our walk with God, is our faith. And so building our faith in God, it's the main goal is to grow in our faith because everything flows from there. And so this is the idea, okay, in week one. And we're going to continue these throughout the fast. But in week one, the idea is fast from things. And I want to say this specifically because a lot of people will fast from food and they quit eating, but they don't do anything spiritual. That's why I say it just becomes a diet. And so we want to make sure that as we are stopping something, that we're filling our lives with something godly. Amen. And so what I want to present to you is the idea of stopping some things in our life that keep us from spending time with God. Fast from those things, and in the time that you would usually do those things, spend time with God, reading your Bible, praying, journaling, and worshiping the Lord. It's very, very practical, but just think about it. And there's this new thing on when you update your iPhone, and I don't know if you're Android, you whatever, but when you update your iPhone, it tells you how much screen time you had in a week. You seen that yet? And one of the Facebook features, it tells you how long, and sometimes it's like 3 hours and 63 minutes. And you're like, okay, that's better than last week, 4 hours and 15. And so it just keeps showing you all this stuff. What if we took that time and gave it to the Lord? You see what I'm saying? Like, what if we took that time? Some of you are like, man, I would know like all kind of Bible verses and I would feel close to you. Yes, that's what we're talking about. And so that's why I wanted to make it really, really practical, because I feel like I want to show you that you can do this. That's what I want to show you. I don't want you to think, oh, this fasting thing is really, really hard. And so I'm going to like fast one meal for the week and it's going to be like breakfast on Tuesday and you sleep till noon already on Tuesday. And so that's like done for you. No, I'm talking about like things in our life that clutter okay? Things that clutter and keep us from our time with God. What if we intentionally cut those things out so that we can spend time with God? This is what I believe will happen. We will taste and see that God is good. And our taste, our desire for him will increase, and our desire for those other things will decrease. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase and I must decrease. So something really practical like this can so affect your life. So think about it. What if you just took some time away from the things that just kind of clutter your life and take that to spend time with God? A Bible reading plan. We have found a really good Bible reading plan. If you have the Bible app on your phone, and it's on, you can find it on any different smartphone you have, type Bible app, and there will be. There's a 21-day devotional on there, and we got all the information. You go on our website, you can click on there, it'll take you to it. But this would be a great tool, great resource. All Things New is the name of it. You can go on the Bible app, and you can connect with it, and it'll track you. It'll help you stay right on task. There's a devotional to read. There's some scripture verses to read. There's some prayer points, just some things to give you a track to run on. Again, we want to set you up for success, and so that's an awesome resource. So in week one, fast from things that are keeping us from spending time with God and dedicate that time to being with him. So let's say you decide to fast food, okay? Let's say lunch. That's going to be your fault. I'm going to fast lunch. Take the time that you would normally eat lunch and pull your Bible out. Put some worship on your earbuds. You know what I'm saying? Jump in the car and spend some time praying while you're at work. Make sure that it's not just stopping something, but you're starting something. Are you grabbing this? Because I believe as you start something, it's going to begin to feed your soul, and it's really, really going to be satisfying. So that's what we want to present in week one. Fast from things that have become replacements for God in your life. Things that we have put in the place of God. Things that we're leaning on. Things that have become our crutch. Things that have become our comfort. Sometimes that can become food. Sometimes that can become our social media. Sometimes that can even become relationships. Things that we are replacing God with. And so those are some great ideas, some things that we can fast from. Okay, so here's the second thing, the second week. As you continue on this time where you're fasting to build your faith, let's incorporate week two and begin to fast for our families, okay? How many of you want to see God do something in your family? And you know God's got to do something. I've seen young people raising their hands like, God, please do something in my mama. There were kids that heard the speaker down the hall back there, and they're raising their hand in the middle of kids' class. And teacher's like, what? You got a question? Like, no, I want to believe God to save my mama. She screamed at me this morning because we wasn't waking up. Family is such a critical part of our lives. And it affects everything in our life. I mean, that is one thing I've learned about family. It affects everything. And even if you're single and you're still mingling, you still know your family has affected you in your life. And so as we continue to build faith, let's add some intentional family time. So think of this. Things that keep you from spending time with your family. What if we turn that television off? What if we put our phones down and get really intentional about having some conversations with our family? Notice I didn't say invite everybody to come watch a movie. Because that's not intentional. That's just popcorn in a movie, okay? What if we turn it off to have a conversation with our family and begin to talk to our kids about the Lord? How can I pray for you? Think about that. Think about how that would change the tone of our home. And you say, well, I'm single and I live by myself. You have family members. And maybe you could get on the phone and say, hey, listen, I just wanted to call and check on you to see how you're doing. How can I be praying for you? Like, think about how this can affect our family. Some of you are like, I don't know, if I call them, this thing might blow up and it might really get out of hand. Y'all all be fasting and praying for us. But I believe that it's one thing for us just to get really, really spiritual. But if our spirituality doesn't affect our family, what are we doing? Come on, somebody. Like, what are we doing if we just get really hyped spiritually and know a bunch of Bible verses, but we can't even take the Bible verses that we know and make them work at home? Like, come on, we can do this, y'all. And that's why I really believe that we should get intentional with our time, because a lot of the things that the pressure, the stress that we're dealing with is happening in the context of our house. Think about that. And so if it's just my escape to get away and go be with Jesus, listen, I need you to know you're coming home and you got toilets to clean and you got kids to raise. Amen. And if you're single, you still got to clean the toilet and you still got to wash your clothes and you still got stuff to do. And so we've got to put ourselves in this place of realizing, hey, that family, I'm going to be a part of a family forever. Come on. And God's put me in this family. I want to make sure that I'm doing this thing the right way. So what if we fast from some things that are keeping us from connecting with our families? When was the last time you prayed with your family? And watch this, not just with your kids, like with your dad. I know. Like with your mom, with your brother. Look, Lord's already put some stuff on my heart that I need to take care of during this fast. It's like, I'm going to do it because I don't want to miss what God's got for me. I want to be ready. I want my heart to be ready, because what if God chooses to take that channel and go through my family member to bless me? Come on, touch your neighbor and say, get ready. Fired up now. See, this is where it gets good. So fast from non-essential, time-consuming events that keep us from coming together as a family. Doesn't that just make sense? Fast, like, I know Thursday night is usually your television night, but you can record that movie show, whatever it is, and after the fast is over, you can go catch up on it. But right now, I'm going to spend time with my family, and we're going to pray. We're going to talk about what God has for it. Hey, here's a good question to ask. What do you see for our family moving forward? I think that is an excellent question to bring to the dinner table. What do you see for our family moving forward? And I think if you're the dad in the house, the husband, you ought to be the one that asks it. Come on, women. Amen? You had your chance. That was... I don't know what that was. We're praying for you. I don't know, man. I felt like I put the ball on the tee, and it was. Anyway, okay, let's get back. So we're fasting to build our faith. Now we're fasting to connect our family, bringing some kingdom purpose. And listen, there's nothing wrong with pulling the Bible out and reading the Bible to your family. That's awesome moments. I've seen families bring their kids to the prayer nights that we have and kneel right there with them during the time that we have to pray privately. And they're sitting there praying with their kids. Those are awesome moments. I've seen parents sitting there sharing communion. And you can think of how cool that is. Sharing communion. Brothers and sisters sharing communion together. Those are awesome moments. And I just want to give you those ideas, because sometimes we see the value. We just don't know what to do. But these are great ideas for you to participate in. These are great things to do. And I believe God can begin to work in some families and bring some restoration and some redemption. Amen? So make sure you consider that. The third thing, and it's really a little bit of a challenge, because a lot of people are like, look, you talk about a lot of stuff, just don't mess with my money, okay? But the Bible says where your treasure is, your heart is also. So there's a heart connection that is with our finances. And I believe as we continue to build our faith and build our family, I believe we should consider fasting from some things that is messing with our finances. Holy Ghost moment. Fasting from some excessive spending that we really don't have to do to put us in a place to get our finances in order. Think about this. I know one family, 2 years ago, they fasted from eating out. And you say, oh, that's just an easy fast for. It's not for them, because they live a crazy lifestyle. And they fasted from eating out. And at the end of the month, they were amazed at how much extra money that they had. They were just amazed, and they said, we were able to get caught up on some things that we were falling behind in. And so it was just this principle of realizing that, hey, man, I can get some things on track. Can I say this? That during a fast, there are some practical things that can begin to happen in your life that is going to benefit your heart and your soul. Amen? It will do your soul some good when you say amen after you just prayed with your family that night. Your soul's going to feel awesome. You're like, we just did this, and nobody got mad. Everybody gets popcorn tonight. You know, it's like, it's just one of those things. But I think when it comes to finances, it's almost like, this is my business. Everybody stay out. But I need you to know the Lord is all up in your financial business, because God has provided for you. And everything we have comes from Him. And I prayed about this because I know this is a challenge, but I really felt like the Lord put this on my heart to throw at our church and present to you. I want us to consider fasting from excessive spending and take the money that you would normally spend excessive in these areas. Maybe it's a Starbucks thing you do every day or other coffee places. Let's not just advertise one. Maybe take that, keep it at the end of the fast, give it. Oh, I knew the preacher was going to ask for money. We don't need your money. It takes finances to make the kingdom work, but it's people's hearts that make them give. The Lord wants your heart. That's why this is a key area right here. I believe during the time of fasting, maybe you're not participating in tithing and you don't even believe in offerings. This would be a good time to take that step and to begin to tithe, begin to give the offering. Why? Because it's affecting our souls. It's not just about our pocketbooks. Listen, money has stressed you more than what you realize. It has. Money has stressed families, marriages. Do you know right now there's a kid who's mad at their parents because they couldn't buy them that pair of Adidas that they wanted? Do you know that? And that kid just thinks, you don't love me because you didn't buy it. And they have no clue that the mom and dad just couldn't afford it. Then there's the family that just swiped it and got it for them. Swiped the plastic and got it for them. And now they're stressing out and not knowing how they're going to really pay for all this stuff that they just bought. And it's creating stress. And so anytime you bring this stuff up in church, they get mad at the preacher for bringing up money. Listen, I'm not after nobody's money. It's hearts. The Lord is after our hearts. That's why I really felt like we needed to throw this in the fast, because there are excessive areas in our life where we're spending that we can really direct our hearts. And so watch this. Instead of finding something that comforts our heart by spending money, let's put our heart in a place to be generous and give. And that's really when our heart is fulfilled. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Does that make sense? So let's look at the whole thing. This practical look at it. If we're fasting to build our faith, and we're fasting to build our families, and we're fasting to get our finances in order, think about our entire life, how it's affected. And I wanted to present this in a practical way to show you that you can do this, and I believe it will have spiritual implications in our life. And listen, do I want the angel to come down? Heck yeah, baby. If he shows up next Sunday right here, booyah, catch it on video and post it. I mean, that's awesome. I know you're fasting from social media, but hey, if the angel comes, we're back. Am I right? I mean, if he comes, we're back. And we're alive. Again, what are we doing? We're stopping some things so we can start some things. I believe we'll set some new habits in our life during this 21 days for spending time with God. I believe we can start some new family events, traditions, maybe some weekly Bible study with our family. We advertise all the time this app for the kids that you can go on, this parent app, Parent Q is what it's called. You can sit down with kids, and they do all the hard work for you to set you up to share the good news of Jesus with your kids, to take them through some good Bible lessons. It's a great tool to use. But think if this becomes a weekly occurrence in your life. Think about it, Dad. If you're doing this every week, you're feeling like you're the man. You know that you're doing the right thing. Think about with our finances. We know we're setting ourselves up for success because we're getting things in order. So when we say consecrate yourselves because God's going to do something great, there's something great that God wants to do. Let's not just think, oh, I want to get spiritual. Let's get practical with our spirituality, amen? And let's really apply what we're believing instead of just feeling good about what we're believing. Let's really, really apply what we're believing and put it to work in our lives. And I believe this, we're going to feel this spiritual synergy begin to roll. And we're going to get a sense of momentum. And that's what carries us as we move forward, because you're going to have people that have new practices. Can you imagine? You never had a budget before. Now you got a budget. And why did you do that? Because you learned during that 1 week where you said, you know what, we're going to fast from excessive spending and give it, you realize, man, this is what we want our life to feel like this is the right thing to do. And now you're going to budget accordingly. Think about the implications of everything we're talking about. It will set the course for your year. So our goal is this. This is what we'll be doing during the 21 days. During the week can be really practical. Those prayer nights, we want to minister to you. That's where we want to grab hands with you and pray with you about different things going on in your life. We want to encourage you. We want to help you to keep growing as a believer and build your faith. We want to stand with you with some different things that are going on in your life. And we're going to have personal ministry time on those Wednesday nights, and it gives us a great platform to be able to do that. So I want to encourage you to come out. And these Sunday mornings, listen, our goal is not just to come in here and teach on fasting every week, but it's really to invite you to experience God's presence. And this morning, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll go back to Joshua 3 again. It says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And as we're kicking off this new year, I just hear the Lord saying, get ready. And I believe the need in our hearts for revival is great. But our attention has been so captivated with pleasure. And today, I just feel like the Lord's been speaking. Today is a call to repentance. And I know maybe you have been a believer. Maybe you have been around for a long time. But sometimes, over time, our hearts can become cynical and our hearts can become hard. But today is, just felt like the Lord said, it's a call to repentance. A call to come before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for putting all these things ahead of you. I want to put you number one. I want to follow your ways instead of my own. We all want this better 2019 than what 2018 was. Got decisions that we made then that we're carrying over to today. There are things that are heavy on us that we're bringing into a new year. And I would say this, you don't have to carry them anymore. We can bring them to the cross. We can lay them down at the cross and let Jesus carry that heavy burden. So this morning, what we have done is this. At every seat, there's been a piece of paper and there's an ink pen that was placed there. And as we've been talking about different things today through the service, perhaps the Lord's been putting His finger on some things in your heart. And what I've really felt the Lord leading us to do today is jot down some things in your life that need to change in 2019. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an old habit. Maybe it's this sin that just keeps happening over and over again. You've repented of it 16,000 times, but this year it needs to change. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's apathy. But whatever you feel like the Lord has put on your heart, I want you to write it down. And this morning, I struggled with this because of the time factor, all this, but I really felt like the Lord said, have Him bring it to the cross. Write it down and bring it to the cross. And after we do that, I just want us to pray all together. If you're new to our church, we don't do this all the time. This is just something that we felt like we needed to do. But I feel like it is so significant, because you probably won't remember most of the stuff that I said here today. You probably won't. But you won't forget what you wrote on that card. And you won't forget when you place it right here at this cross and go back to your seat and you're telling yourself, this year I've got to change this. You won't forget that. And that's what I want for us. I want us to have these memories that have significance. And so write that down. And as you're finishing, they're going to be singing. I just want you to come. Just drop it right here at the foot of the cross. And you can head back to your seat. And as you're at your seat, I just want you to take a few moments right there and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for this. This year, I'm making a change. I'm starting fresh, new. And I'm following you. We'll do this for a couple moments, and then we'll wrap up the service. You guys come.